anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard, normal, or expected. An oddity, peculiarity, irregularity, inconsistency, incongruity, a rarity.
The following movie review for Marvel Studios' The Avengers was previously recorded on May 9th, 2012 via Skype. To maintain the spontaneous and organic nature of this podcast, very little of the conversation between the two hosts have been edited out. We hope you enjoy the show. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Anomaly. This is Casey.
And this is Sarah.
And today we're having a pretty spontaneous podcast because Sarah and I, I think, are the only anomalies so far who have seen The Avengers within the past 5 days.
Which is a shame. Everyone needs to go see it.
I know. I'm surprised they didn't go opening day, but from what I've heard, like, everything was sold out.
Yeah, well, it was crazy when I went to see it on a Monday night, like, the entire theater was packed. So, it's definitely, I can understand wanting to wait a little while so that you can actually get in, probably.
Yeah, I saw it on Monday night, too, but I had bought tickets the night before via my fancy iPhone, and by the time my husband and I got to the theater the following night, it was almost packed, and we were lucky to find two seats that were together.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we ended up going, like, an hour early because we, like, wanted to make sure we had seats. We were, like, one of the first people in line at our theater, so.
Yeah.
But it definitely filled up really fast.
Yeah, Kevin usually doesn't get off work until around 7 or after 7, so we're going to the 7:30 showing, and oh my goodness. I was amazed that so many people were seeing it on a Monday night.
I know, that's how I was too, because I'm like, it's Monday. People aren't supposed to see movies on Monday.
So,
that good.
Yeah. So, obviously, this movie is written and directed by Joss Whedon, who is a favorite of the Anomaly podcast, for sure. What with Buffy and Firefly especially, and I love Dollhouse. I don't know who else does or does not, but I don't really care about your opinion. I'm kidding.
You know what I was thinking? Joss Whedon is kind of like the patron saint of Anomalies.
I think he is. Which is weird, because you would figure it would be a female, because this is where female and fandom converge, but he kind of gets both girls and nerddom, so who better to direct this movie, especially with the character of Black Widow, but we're going to get into that later. So, basic superhero formula, for sure, where it's, you know, the world is in peril by a superhuman being, and then superheroes are brought in, but notice that it's superheroes plural, not superhero. So over the past, you know, 5 years or so, Marvel has been coming out with, you know, movies about Iron Man and Captain America and Thor and the Incredible Hulk. After the credits, they all kind of tied in together, but before, so it didn't seem to be tying in at all. Well, this is the first movie that really combines, like, all these Marvel canon characters and puts them into one movie, which is unheard of, for sure. Sarah, what were your thoughts on the risk of putting so many characters into one movie?
I was really worried that it would be problematic because you'd feel everyone, you know, regardless of how awesome they all are, everyone has a favorite, and I wasn't sure, like, how tough it would be, like, splitting up the story between everybody and making sure everybody got an equal chance at the, you know, to have their shining moment and, you know, be in it and have enough story to themselves. But I feel like definitely the movie, like, really handle that well. I feel like not only did they have great story arcs together as a team, but I feel like the movie actually really did continue their separate story arcs and gave us, you know, just enough of each character's, you know, separate story. So I felt like it was really impressive because you got, not only did you get their story as a whole, as a team, as the Avengers, but you also got their separate stories. So I feel like they handled that really well.
I agree for sure. And I think kudos to the cast and crew because they all seemed to just get the universe that they were dealing with. And it's, you know, the writing was fantastic, the direction was fantastic, the acting was fantastic. Since you were talking about how people have their favorite Marvel characters, let's talk about the characters themselves and the acting. How do you think everybody did? Because people seem to overlook acting in a big summer action flick rather than focus on the nuances of the performances.
Right. Yeah, I liked how everyone was taking it seriously but having fun with it. And I feel like it would be easy in movies like this, you know, to kind of dial it in because, you know, like you said, it's kind of just a summer action movie. But I feel like more and more you're just having actors who are really taking everything they're in seriously and really giving it, you know, everything they have. And I do feel like, you know, there really wasn't a bad performance there, which is really cool to see everybody, you know, just giving it their best, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree. And you can kind of see, I can think of one instance in particular where someone dialed it in terms of their performance, not to call him out, and not that he actually listens to the podcast, because he's way too famous to even care what we think, but Anthony Hopkins in the Thor movie. I feel like he dialed it in, and of course he's such a good actor that he could dial it in and still be great, but come on.
His dialing in is probably like a 10 for like a lot of other people, but still, when you've seen how good he is, you can tell when he's not giving it his all.
Right. But in this movie, it seemed like everyone was just in for it. Robert Downey Jr. Was always the scene stealer in Iron Man, and as he should be, because he's the main character, why should someone steal his thunder? But with the equal screen time and these big personalities playing off of each other in terms of character, everyone was in top form, for sure.
Yeah. And I feel like, I think it was Simon Metz who was saying earlier, like, he just felt like it could have been kind of uncomfortable watching because they all are big stars in their own rights and they all are sharing the screen. So it could have been uncomfortable, but it really does seem like everyone was getting along and the chemistry was really good and no one was like, I feel like you didn't get that feeling that anyone was like, yeah, this is all about me. They were like, yeah, this is cool. We all get to do this together.
Yeah. I mean, half of the major cast, like, four of them have been nominated for Academy Awards. So there could have been some major egos going on. But this is one of the few films that I really feel is an ensemble piece. So let's move on to the story, which was written by Joss and also by Zach Penn, who I think has worked on other superhero movies before. I just can't remember which ones off the top of my head. And I feel bad. But that's okay, because this is meant to be spontaneous. I really feel like the story itself was something that could have been too over the top, but because of the way it was handled, I also felt like it was very unique. What did you think?
Definitely. I agree. Because, I mean, let's be honest. How many... There is not that many, like, original storylines left for superhero movies. I mean, not that I'm saying there aren't, but it's just that people don't take advantage of them. They are like, oh, well, we'll just have some bad guy who wants to kill everybody and then have the superhero stop them. You know, it'd be really easy not to write a story because it would be easy just to you just make some really cool bad guy and throw him in there. But I felt like they definitely actually made a good story that you cared about and got you even more into the movie.
Right. And it helps that they got, you know, Joss and Zach Penn, who both have written for comic books before. That I know for sure, because Joss wrote The Astonishing X-Men with a focus on Kitty Pryde. And technically, he included The Avengers on that too. And he had to work with so many different voices, and the same thing with Zach Penn. And it's just really interesting to hear not only that the dialogue sound like their own characters, but also the scope of the story going to places that have been ventured into before, and then it can also take a sudden turn where you didn't expect it to take a turn.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Also, I feel like the cinematography, sometimes the shots looked like they would look beautiful in a couple of panels on a comic book.
Oh, definitely. I agree with you.
I mean,
there are so many parts where just like, I was telling that to, when I saw it with my husband, and I'm like, every single time I like keep on seeing these really awesome scenes, and I'm like, oh man, that's my favorite, I'm going to remember that. And then it'd be like 10 seconds later, it'd be another really awesome, you know, scene with cinematography that you're just like, it totally blows the first one out of your mind.
Right. I mean, it's just a beautiful film overall, but to see those little, you know, hints and pieces in there that appeal to those who have been fans for a long time or general fans of comic books or whatever, we feel like the nerds feel like they're being appreciated. And it also helps to see this movie with a full theater of people who are excited for this movie, because, you know, they, at certain points, they got the laughs they wanted. At certain points, you know, we were all, you know, feeling scared for the situation that was going on. And it's kind of like what you, me, and Sue were talking about when we were discussing a Harry Potter musical, and how audience around us is infectious rather than watching it alone at home.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. We had, like, this little boy in front of us, and every time he would see, you know, Iron Man or Captain America specifically, and if, you know, Iron Man was flying, he would put his hands over his head and, like, act like he was flying too, and he would often shout Captain America really loud. It could have been annoying, but the thing was, I think everyone was just so excited. Like, it really felt like everyone was the kid again, so it just made it even better, so I agree with you.
Yeah. I saw it in a theater full of adults, because the theater that we have here in Texas, it's a strand of theaters called the Alamo Draft House. It got some publicity this year for, last year for one of their no texting PSAs. Do a YouTube search for Alamo Draft House public service announcements or no texting or whatever. They're usually very funny. Because, you know, they serve food and, you know, alcohol, and sometimes their previews have, you know, naughty things in there, they don't allow children to come in unless they're accompanied by a parent.
Ah.
Plus, it, like, the theater is really meant for moviegoers and movie lovers. But in the end, everyone in the theater was just acting like a kid, which was awesome.
That sounds so cool.
It's really awesome. let's see, what else do we need to talk about? Is there any particular point you want to focus on?
Oh, well, one thing that I thought was really cool, you touched on a bit in the beginning, was I was really impressed with Joss Whedon and Zach Penn with their grasp of humor, especially. Because, you know, I hate to admit this because, you know, I'm going to get my anomaly card revoked, but the only thing that I've ever seen to do with Joss Whedon was the Serenity movie.
Mm-hmm.
I still totally, I have Firefly on my instant queue, I just haven't had a chance to watch it. So it was like, I feel like this was my first real introduction to Joss Whedon, and I was like, wow, I'm starting to understand why everyone is like, really likes him, because, you know, he had a really great way of bringing the humor into situations where you weren't expecting it, and also just that he knew when to not bring the humor in. He knew, you know, when to make it more tense. I just felt like he had a really, you know, good grasp of storytelling in the best sense.
Exactly. I feel like that storytelling is so rare, too, because let's go ahead and jump into this little argument, because I feel like The Dark Knight isn't going to have a lot of humor in it.
No, I don't think so.
Like, Batman Begins had a little bit of it, but Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises, probably not a lot of funny.
Yeah. I'm sure you're right.
So, this movie has already made over $200 million, as far as I know, of this moment.
Yeah, $200 million domestic and $700 million globally.
I know,
just crazy.
This, I told this to my husband. This is what happens when you give Joss Whedon a lot of money. But it's also the material, too. But based strictly on the material, because I think some of the biggest blockbuster hits that are going to happen this year are going to be this one, The Dark Knight Rises and The Hobbit. So, and because Marvel and DC have this big battle between them, who do you, this is going to sound terrible, who do you think is going to be the more popular film this year, Avengers or The Dark Knight Rises?
I don't know. I want it to be Avengers. I feel like it will, but at the same time, I feel like it will, because I feel like already it beat out the past. You know, Batman ones. But I don't know if it's just wishful thinking. I would prefer it to do better than, you know, than Batman. Unless you mean, which one do you think will be better, as in which one I will like better? Or do you mean, like, which one will do better, as in which one audiences will like better?
Probably which one audiences will like better.
Yeah. I want to say Avengers, but I'm not positive, just because. But at the same time, it's like with the Joker not in, I don't know if it has as much of a chance as the last one of doing really good, you know?
Yeah, and I'm also worried about The Dark Knight Rises, too, because it's also going to do a little bit of what The Avengers is doing and what past Batmans have done, where it's including more and more characters, like Catwoman and, you know, Bane and...
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. I was looking at them, like, wow, they're not leaving anybody for the... But I forgot, this is probably the last one. It's meant to be a trilogy, isn't it? So they're kind of going all out right now, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so. And I love Chris Nolan, too, as a writer and director. But, you know, that being said, and, you know, there are some things in Avengers I would be, you know, wary of showing a child. But if I were a parent and I had to choose between letting my child see the Avengers or letting him see The Dark Knight, I would probably let them see the Avengers.
Definitely. I agree.
Because Batman Begins, and especially Dark Knight, as an adult, they frighten me.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And, you know, there's a tone to the Avengers that is kind of on the darker side, but it's also very lighthearted, too. It's kind of like what Maurice Sendak, one of his more famous quotes is, "I don't write children's books, I write books." I don't think there should be anything distinguishing between an adult book and a children's book. I just write books. And I think that's what The Avengers is. I think it's just a movie. I think it's a movie that everyone can enjoy no matter what their age is.
I agree with you. But I also agree with you especially about, yeah, it's not like it doesn't have, like, some dark themes, but I just feel like it's well balanced. Like, it's got a little bit of the dark, but it's got a more lighthearted tone to it. It's not, whereas I kind of feel like the first two Batman movies were kind of just way dark. So, yeah, I agree with you there.
Yeah. So, in terms of everything that we have just said, what grade would you give The Avengers for the people who have and have not seen it yet?
Like, what would I give it?
Yeah,
personally?
Like if it were a school grade.
Well, if there's anything higher than A+, I'd probably give it that. But since I don't think there is, I would say A+.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it an A+ as well. I mean, I can't think of anything that I didn't like about it. I honestly can't think of anything that I didn't like about it. Even with my bias of Joss taken away, if I hadn't known that Joss was directing it, it still would have been a fantastic movie.
Yeah, definitely. I was just watching it and I just felt like there's just so much in it. I felt like it was just so well balanced, and it kind of felt more like the movies that, like, you know when you grow up with movies and they're like fantastic, like, you know, Last Crusade, stuff like that, and you just feel like, why don't they make movies like that anymore? And you don't know if it's because you have, you know, a skewed sentimental vision of it because you grew up with it as a kid or what. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like after seeing Avengers, I'm like, no, that is a certain kind of movie, because that's that kind of movie where it just feels perfect and it hits all the right notes, and there's so much in it, and there was something for everybody, which is a really corny thing to say, but it was really true.
Exactly. So what we're going to do now is we are going to give a spoiler warning, because we are about to discuss this even more in detail for those who have seen the movie. If you haven't, stop now, go watch the movie, and then I will give you permission to listen to the rest of the podcast.
Definitely listen to her, because you will spoil it for yourself, and it's definitely not a movie you want to spoil.
No, not at all. I will say that I came very, very close to listening or reading spoilers about this movie, like, very close, because I had been begging Kevin, my husband, you know, please let us go see The Avengers, please let us go see it. And the reason why I beg like that is so that I can avoid reading about it online.
Right.
And I remembered right before, like the day before, I had opened the page for a synopsis full of spoilers, and I decided at the very last minute, no, and I clicked out of that page, and I was just like, I'm going to wait, and thank God I did, because, oh my gosh, ride of my life.
Yeah, seriously, I can't even, I mean, I'm thankful I didn't have any opportunities to spoil it for myself, because, yeah, I could see myself being like, oh, well, it'll be all right. I'll just read this one thing.
Yeah.
Shields up, red alert. Spoilers decloaking off the starboard bow. Yeah, that was a warning.
So, for the returning villain that everyone has seen from previews is Loki and a bunch of aliens, which
awesome.
Loki is amazing. Like, I loved Loki in the Thor movie, but in this movie, they just took him to another level. Like, I was not expecting him to be this malevolent.
When I saw Thor, I was like, basically, yeah, all the heroes were great, but I felt like Loki stole the show. So I was really excited to see him in Avengers. I was really excited when, with that, was it the secret ending on Thor that had, where you saw him again and you knew he was going to return? I think it must have been. But when I realized that, he was probably going to be the main villain in the Avengers movie, it made me that much more excited about seeing it. Because I just feel like Tom Hiddleston is just amazing. Like, he has everything you would want in a villain. And I also like how he was funny in parts, but that didn't take away from, the seriousness of him as a villain. Like, it wasn't like he was funny, so you're like, oh, well, he's not that big of a threat. Like, they balance, him being really funny and having funny lines and even having him get pummeled by the Hulk and seem threatening, which is saying a lot, I think.
That part was awesome.
I know, it was. I was not expecting.
He was just like, stop! You are beneath me! I am a god! And then all of a sudden, the Hulk just picks him up and throws him around like a child with a toy.
And then, Loki's just, buried in the floor with this look of, I can't believe that just happened.
Oh my gosh. But there are also times, he has his comedic moments, and he also has his dramatic moments, too. Like, there's a scene between him and Thor where I genuinely, in the Thor movie, I felt bad for him.
Oh, me too.
And in this movie, I went between loving him, hating him, and feeling awful for him. My emotions were conflicting over a fictional character based on Norse mythology.
Which is so cool, because, especially for a villain, that's pretty awesome to be able to get your audience to feel that range of emotions, other than just hating them. That's kind of easy to do, get your audience to hate the villain, but it's pretty impressive to make your audience be like, I kind of like him, I kind of feel bad for him, wow, he's a jerk, wow, I kind of like him, wow, he's really awful, it was just, I just think that's really cool they're able to do that.
Yeah, and I didn't expect us to go into this early, but we have to talk about one of the biggest spoilers, one of the biggest turn of events in the movie, which is Agent Coulson.
Oh, I know. What the heck?
I gasped in the theater. I was shocked when Loki stabbed him and then he died.
I know, I thought maybe he'll be okay, but he wasn't.
Look, I will admit freely, because I knew Joss Whedon was directing the movie, I thought, okay, someone in this movie is going to die. I don't know who it's going to be. I don't think it's going to be any of the Avengers. I'm going to bet on the girl who's playing Agent Hill, a.k.a. Robin Scherbatsky from How I Met Your Mother.
Uh-huh.
And the thought didn't even occur to me that Coulson, of all people, would get the Whedon axe to his head.
Although it's funny, because after I saw it, I realized, wow, I really should have saw that coming, because we got his first name, unless we knew that before. We got, some of his backstory, in the part where Pepper is walking him in the elevator, you hear, her asking about, I guess she's asking about a girl or something like that, or someone, and he's saying, oh, move back to Oregon or something, mm-hmm. His girlfriend. And I'm just like, and then the whole thing with the Captain America cards, I realized after the fact, 2020, hindsight is 2020, that we were getting a lot of, details into his life. He wasn't just Agent Coulson anymore, he was a person. I should have seen that meant he was going to get killed, because they wanted us to make sure that we were, feeling enough for him that we would care that he got killed.
Yeah, I can see that. But at the I don't know. Because he had survived for this long.
I know.
Over the course of 2 Iron Man movies, Thor, the Incredible Hulk, to a Captain America, he went for this long, and then all of a sudden he's gone. And, I know that Joss has done this before with his other characters, too. Because you are new to Joss, I won't mention who they are.
Right.
I think this was the one that really got to me. And as with all Joss characters that have bitten the dust, it isn't until that character is gone that I really realize how much I adored that character.
Mm-hmm.
Because any time Coulson was mentioned after the fact, I was like welling up and I was just like, you go get Loki for what he did.
No, it's just true. It's like, and he's just such a good guy. It makes it even more depressing. I mean, I'm really glad, I gotta say, it was cool. You know, he really got a good final moment, not only with Loki, you know, saying you'll fail because it's in your nature and everything. Like, those were some really great lines. But also, you know, shooting Loki with the, you know, the gun, and also getting a last moment of humor, and then his last moments being ones of, you know, encouragement and hope, you know, kind of like, you know, don't give up because, you know, we can still beat this and everything. So I feel like I wish they didn't kill him. I'm still mad about it, but I feel like at least he got a really great, you know, death scene, and definitely got his moment in that time.
Yeah. I also love the line that he had when Nick Fury is basically telling him, you're not going to die on me. And Coulson says, no, I'm okay with this because, you know, the team is going to need something to avenge. And I was, like, tearing up and they were coming down a little bit. And I was just like, oh, great line. Fantastic line.
Yeah, definitely. When I go see it again, because I'm definitely going to go see it again.
Yes.
I definitely need to pay more attention to that part, because I think I was still a little distracted, because the lady in front of me actually screamed when he got stabbed. Like, she seriously screamed. A couple of people screamed. I was, like, pretty... It was cool. Like, we were talking about earlier. Like, it definitely is neat to see a movie with an audience that is so interactive, and I feel like it was definitely a testament to, you know, everyone's shock, because pretty much you just heard an audible gasp and one audible scream, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that kills me, though. I am glad that Agent Hill, the beautiful brunette that I hope people remember, and remember to watch How I Met Your Mother on Mondays, because she's awesome in that, too. I'm glad she did survive, because she does seem like an original character who is also, you know, a bad arse at what she does. And, I mean, it just seems like she can kick your butt and take your name.
Yeah, definitely. I really liked her a lot. At first I was like, when the movie started, I'm like, am I supposed to know who she is? But as it went on, I'm like, yeah, she's a pretty cool character. I liked her a lot.
Yeah. And if you watch How I Met Your Mother, there's a joke in there where her character, Robin Scherbatsky, has these mannerisms, and people say, typical Scherbatsky. And last night my husband said, typical Scherbatsky, surviving a Joss Whedon movie.
Nice. Did you, like, sense, okay, maybe I'm crazy, but did you sense that they were, like, trying to go for something with her and Captain America at all?
No, I did not sense that at all.
Because, like, I feel like there's this one scene where, like, she looked at him in a certain way that kind of felt like they wouldn't just do that for no reason. So I wasn't sure if they were trying to set up something.
Huh. That would be interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I might just be reading too far into it because I do that often. I'm like, oh, they looked at each other. They're going to end up with each other. But I don't know.
Oh, they would make adorable babies.
Oh, my word.
I don't know. I didn't catch that, but maybe. I mean, there's going to be a second Captain America movie.
Yeah, I was just reading that they already confirmed it. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. You see, I thought there was going to be... I was so scared that they were going to come up with a romance for Black Widow.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I love Joss, but, you know, sometimes the big studios want you to have a romance to entice, you know, other people to go see the movie. You know, yeah. Romance lovers. And that didn't happen in this movie, and I was so excited.
I agree. I noticed that, too, because I saw some weird thing and thought she and the Hulk were going to get together for some reason. So when I watched it, it was kind of a pleasant surprise that they didn't end up matching her up with anybody. I kind of like that.
Yeah. Scarlett Johansson and Mark Ruffalo had a lot of chemistry together, for sure.
Yeah.
Even if it wasn't really romantic, they just... You could just tell that they worked extremely well off of each other. And same with Johansson and Jeremy Renner, who played Hawkeye.
Mm-hmm.
Those were very good scenes when she was working with them.
Yeah, speaking of her scenes, seriously, she had some of, like, the best scenes. Like, the whole, like, her running away from the Hulk, that was intense.
It was. I liked that moment after where the Hulk is distracted and he's off doing something else. And I think he fell off the plane or something. And she's just in that corner and she's breathing heavily. And you could just tell that she was trying to deal with what had just happened. And I felt awful. I just wanted to hug her.
I know. She looked really terrible. It was sad. But it was kind of cool seeing her just push through that and, you know, get up because she knew she had to do what had to be done. That was pretty cool. I just felt like she definitely, they handled her really well. You know, I know us as anomalies are always watching carefully to see how Hollywood will treat a female character. And I felt like they definitely, you know, treated her super respectful, and she was up, you know, on par with all the other guys, and I definitely appreciated that a lot.
Yeah. Plus, Scarlett Johansson looks like a real female. I don't care if people focus on certain assets of her body, but when you look at her waistline and everything, she looks like she's a human being.
I totally agree with you. I noticed that, too. I'm like, yeah, she looks like she's normal. Yeah, she didn't look, like, super skinny, like she's just some bone walking around with leather on or something.
Yeah, that must be really uncomfortable, being a skeleton and then walking around in leather, just, ugh.
Yeah, that's funny that you noticed that, too, because I was noticing that and definitely appreciating it. And how awesome was, that was one thing I was going to ask. Of everyone's introduction scene, whose introduction scene do you think was the best?
Oh, that's a good question. Because
there were a lot of really good ones.
There were. I really liked Black Widow's because you only saw a little bit of her in Iron Man 2. And this is where you really got a good, you know, idea of what she was.
Yeah.
That being said, I love the cinematography of Thor returning, and I loved what they did with Bruce Banner. Loved it.
Oh, yeah. That was definitely cool. Did you read that Lou Ferrigno actually did is uncredited as the voice of the Hulk? Like, he actually came back to do the Hulk's dialogue, what little he had of it?
Oh, really? I think I had heard that he had some, you know, involvement in it, but I had mainly just remembered that Mark Ruffalo not only did Bruce Banner, but also did the motion capture for the Hulk.
Oh, that's cool.
So.
I can definitely see, you know, it, especially in the eyes, that, you know, they were definitely.
Also, how exciting is it that the Hulk actually kind of looks like Bruce Banner, but green?
Yeah, definitely. That is cool. Did you like Mark Ruffalo as the Hulk, by the way? Have you seen the other two?
I haven't seen the other two, but I can speak on behalf of my husband who has seen the other two. Mm-hmm. And Mark Ruffalo is his favorite.
Ah, okay. I didn't like the first one. I cannot remember his name. Was it, I feel like he was, who was the first Hulk? I'm asking my husband real quick. Banner, that's it. I didn't really like him too much, but I really liked Edward Norton. Mm-hmm. In the second Hulk movie, so I really was kind of, plus, you know, hearing he kind of got booted out for not really a good reason, I was feeling a little protective of him. So when I heard, you know, they were doing a whole another Hulk, I was like, yeah, well, I like Mark Ruffalo, but I don't know. But when I saw the movie, he definitely won me over. I felt like he was, like, a perfect choice. He had the whole, you know, he's this unassuming guy. He's normal, you know, but he's got, like, the depth to him that he needs, you know, the tortured Jekyll and Hyde thing going. I just was really, really a fan of his, definitely. So, as much as I miss Edward Norton, I actually feel like Mark Ruffalo actually fit the bill even better.
Right. And I also think that, I just had this thought. What happened?
I hate that.
I know. But I also feel like Mark Ruffalo kind of played it. I don't know if this was his intention or if it was just the way Bruce Banner was written. But if you're a fan of Buffy, Bruce Banner kind of had the same dialogue and demeanor that Xander would in Buffy. And Xander is a character. If anyone has not seen Buffy, Xander is a character from Buffy. He's Buffy's one of Buffy's best friends. He's the kind of everyman. And it's kind of like if Xander got superpowers. But my favorite line of the entire film, possibly, apart from Agent Coulson, that had some sort of serious note to it, was when Captain America told Bruce Banner, "Bruce, I think right now is a good time to get angry." And then Bruce Banner said, "You see, that's my secret about why I'm able to retain my, you know, human self for so long. I'm always angry." And it's like, yes!
That was a pretty powerful moment, definitely.
And also, but my favorite comedic part was when, you know, whenever, you know, Captain America, Steve Rogers has those, you know, fish out of water moments where people are making references and he doesn't get it. And then all of a sudden someone is talking to Thor and they're telling him, what are these things? Like, he has, like, Loki has flying monkeys on his side, and Steve goes, oh, I get that. I understand that.
Yeah, that was a great part. I love that. We were laughing so hard. It's definitely a great moment because they handle it so well. Just with, you know, he did have them, and sort of, like when Coulson was saying, you know, he's like, you know, Stephen Hawking, and you know, Steve Rogers just looks at him kind of like, who? And he's like a really smart guy.
Yeah.
So they definitely had a lot of fun with that, and that was a great part of it.
Yeah. What else happened in this movie? Because there was a lot. Did you stick around for after the credits, though?
Yes. I always stay for the end of the credits, but even more so because of Marvel movies always having something at the end. Now, like, it doesn't matter what I'm seeing. I could be watching We Bought a Zoo in the theater, and I'm still staying until the end of the credits. I'm like, maybe there's something at the end. You never know.
Yeah, I've done that, for sure. I've really done that. At the very end of the credits, when they're all just sitting around at the diner, just eating and saying nothing, cracked me up.
I know, it was, that was great. I just love how, like, Captain America looks like he's falling asleep. Like, everybody just kind of looks like, yeah, that happened. Like, it's just totally great.
I was actually looking at Mark Ruffalo's expression, and it looked like he kind of broke character for a second, because you could see this smile on his face, but he just kept going.
Oh, when I see it again, I'll have to watch him. That was the other thing that kind of was a problem with this movie. Is it because there were so many cool people in it? You didn't know who to watch. Like seriously, one of my favorite parts was the part when, you know, the fight's over and they've sealed up the portal and everything. And they're, you know, all celebrating with them. They're like, it's not over yet. And then they go and it's just Loki's, like, getting up. And you see all of them just standing there, you know. And it's like this full, like, panoramic shot of them just all standing there. I'm like, that's an awesome shot, but I can't, my eye keeps on wandering to each person because I want to see each person looking cool, and then I end up seeing none of them because that was my only thing. There's too much cool stuff to look at. It was like, it definitely had rewatch value because you're like, well, next time I watch it, I'll watch that person specifically.
Right. Oh my gosh. Such a fantastic movie. So good. So good. Like, I can't even... I could probably, you know, process what I really think about it if I wrote it down, but I don't think it's as genuine as me repeating that it's so good. It's so good. You need to watch it. It's so good.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those movies where you just try to tell somebody about it, and then you end up just being like, yeah, it's just so good, and you keep saying that.
Yeah. So I think that brings us to the end of our review. I don't know if... we're going to do this as one long one with a split in the middle now, or if we're going to split it in two, but we'll see. I'll ask Jen. So, if you were terrible and decided to listen through to the spoilers, that is your fault. You can't take it out on us. But if you have seen the movie and you liked our thoughts, please send us comments. You can send them to Angela and Jen at girlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks@gmail.com. Or you can send us, the Anomaly Supplemental Ladies, feedback at moregirlygeeks@gmail.com. Sarah, where else can they send info?
Well, you can get on Facebook and even comment on the Anomaly podcast page there. Or the Anomaly forum, which I can't remember the website for.
They can just Google it.
Yeah, just it's just www.anomalyforum.com.
Right.
And we're always talking about something interesting over there, so definitely come on by. It's not just this show, we're talking about pretty much anything and everything geeky under the sun.
Yeah, we're all generally nice people, so you can join us. And also leave comments on iTunes, leave comments on whatever podcatcher you use. I don't know if Stitcher does comments, but you can leave them there too. And, you know, make sure you keep listening to Anomaly, because it sounds like we have some exciting things coming down the pike with both Jen and Angela, and with Anomaly Supplemental, and it sounds like we might be doing some more mini-skirts. So, thank you so much for listening. I'm Casey.
And I'm Sarah.
And you have been listening to Anomaly, where female and fandom converge. Where female and fandom converge.
All the cool kids
keep it easy.
That was fun.
It was fun. I don't have any friends who have seen the movie yet, so it was good to. Get that out.
Yes. I can understand. It's like when you've seen something, you keep on asking, did you see it yet? Everyone's like, no.
If you wish to contact the Anomaly Supplemental, you can at the email address, which is moregirlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks with a Z podcast@gmail.com. Or if you like hearing the sound of your own voice, like I do, you can call the voicemail line at 248-419-GEEK. Yes, it's one of those numbers that you can use alphabets on, and that's 248-419-4335. To stay up to date with Anomaly and Anomaly Supplemental News, you can follow them on Twitter at Anomaly Podcast. That's the at symbol, A-N-O-M-A-L-Y Podcast. That's all one word. Check out the Anomaly blog for geeky articles and Anomaly Supplemental show notes. Find it online at anomalypodcast.com. To meet other anomalies, please join the Anomaly forums. Click on the forum icon at anomalypodcast.com. The theme music is used by permission of Marion Call. Thank you, Marion. Find out more at marioncall.com. Or, of course, you can follow her on Twitter at Marion Call. That's MarianCall. Anomaly was created under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative Works 3.0 Unported License. Oh, say that three times fast. I won't ever play it cool, so I won't ever once be bored. Oh, I have been a nerd since long before anyone heard that fair and scrawny was the latest fashion trend. And I'll still be a geek after nobody thinks it's chic.